What's up, everyone? Welcome into another edition of the Final Whistle Sports Podcast. And to my fellow compatriot, what's up, brother? How are ya?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Glad to be back. Another week. I've got a lot of sports that happened over the last week and a half, so I'm excited to talk about it and much more.
All right, shall we dive right in and talk about how you kicked my butt in the Masters Pick'em? I got my
What?
ass absolutely roasted.
Wow. Yeah, you're not wrong there. I gave it to you pretty well there, I'll say the
Yeah.
least. I don't even want to know what the score was, but it
Hey,
wasn't even close.
all you need to know is that my long shot pick was my best result out of the people I chose.
Who did
So
you pick as
that
the long shot again?
Fleetwood.
Oh yeah, he did good. Yeah, he did
So
good.
I mean,
T3
T3.
this week. T3 this week. Yeah, you're right.
My long shot was the only thing I actually did well with. Good for my sports betting prowess. Just take the underdog, take the highest number.
Exactly. Yeah, folks, we're referring to the Masters, the number one major of the year that's kicked off the PGA Tour, or just in general golf for 2024. It was hosted in Augusta, Georgia, and pretty dominating performance by the man that's been dominating golf right now, Scottie Scheffler, the number one in the world. He is on a run. Not many has been on, but he is on that run, and looks like he's actually going to win this week too at RPC Heritage as well. And Blaine, I'm going to tell you the truth. That you got after Thursday, and you were kind of like, all right, like he's just there. He's in the background. He had other couple names there leading it. Moving along, but then after. What was it? After Friday, you kind of seen the leaderboard kind of start shaping its way out. You had Bryson DeChambeau. He was out there, the round one leader, and he started falling off a little bit come Friday. Oberg kept moving his way up the leaderboard, and you're like, all right, young star, but I just don't think he's going to have it. Max Homa was playing really solid ball. You're like, all right, maybe Max is going to step into it. Morikawa even started turning around, especially come Saturday. Shot a 69 on Saturday, was playing decent as well. But you just kept sitting there and you were just like, all right, like that's great and all. You have all these names coming up, but Scotty's just there. And you just know he's gonna be dominating from here on out. And that's what he's did. I mean, what was your take with just Scotty's performance, with at Augusta?
To put it in like one word, clinical was the word that came to mind. Made no real mistakes, just played the golf course how it was designed to be played, right? Took advantage when he had the opportunity to take advantage at a couple holes. And he also understood when to play safe and just hit one to the middle of the green or put him in a position to kind of get an up and down. If not, walk away with bogey and that's not the end of the world, right? No real major big scores. And you really never, like, it got close on Sunday, right? Like, Åberg pretty much and was, I think it was Homa were the two that really, like, got within striking distance going into the back nine. And then those two kind of just made the mistake you're not supposed to make going through Amen Corner, right? Homa made a couple mistakes there. I think Homa's more was on later on. But Åberg pulled one right into the water because he got too aggressive with his shot, second shot. Morikawa did himself in on nine when he tried to be too aggressive out of the pine straw, right? So everyone started to filter their way out. And then he's, once Scotty finished 11 himself, right? He made bogey, I think, on 11, if I remember correctly. But he still had a couple shot lead. Like it felt over. Like Homa's issue was 12, where he hit it over the back and he put it in the bushes, right? Like I said, clinical man didn't really miss an inch. And like you said, he's gonna probably win this week. I think he's got like a 3 or 4 shot lead in that one as well, down in Harbortown. Like he is playing some elite golf right now. And I don't think he's slowing down, right? He even admitted in his post presser that golf's now going to be fourth in line when he becomes a dad. doesn't mean his foot's going to be taken off the gas, is what I kind of understood how it's going to be. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and he almost kind of seemed like the only way he was gonna lose is he was gonna like beat himself up, like missing a couple of them short putts. I know definitely Sunday, that front nine, he missed I think two of them, and you're like, oh God, here it goes. Like the yips of the short putts is gonna continue. This might open the door up for Åberg or Homa now at this point. And then it's just like all of a sudden then you're like, all right, here's the chance. The door's like getting open. Boom, he come in and drop like a birdie putt. And you're like, well, there it goes, right? Or what was it, Saturday, when he's at 13 on the par five and ends up dropping a big eagle putt from what, 60 feet away? I mean, you just were kind of like, all right, this guy just knows what to do right now and knows how to play and knows how to win at the highest level right now. And it's just like when he would take a punch, he was coming back with a haymaker to take it out on the other side. And it was just good for him and good to see like a dominating performance. By which most people like him, Scotty, a lot, but also like the betting favorite at what was he like plus 500, plus 450, whatever it was. So, the flip side though, I was kind of shocked with how many people like just didn't play well this week at Augusta. Like, I don't know what it was, like, if the course was just playing that difficult. I understand, like, there was a lot of wind on Friday. With the rain too as well coming in and stuff like that. I get that. But like we're only talking eight people under par
The
at a major. Like I know last year the winning score I think for Rom was 12 or 13, but there was still a good chunk of people a little bit still in that under realm there. And Scotty got to 11, don't get me wrong, like got close to the winning number, but like to only have eight people like under par, I'm like, that's kind of weird. Like, I feel like a lot of people just underperformed big time this week at Augusta.
I agree, and I think Friday played a huge role in that, right? Friday and Saturday, the course played extremely more difficult than out of Thursday, and Sunday was the best day for scoring. But I think Saturday played a role, but I do agree. I think people just kind of struggled with how Augusta was set up, and I think they, when the wind picked up, the course really showed its teeth. And people were not putting themselves in the correct positions because I don't think they were playing the wind correctly. Honestly, like Friday, the wind was pretty gnarly in that afternoon. Like it was blowing. And you could see it, like some scores, right? You had a couple of people shoot in the 80s on Friday and Saturday. So I think that just gives, in and of itself, showcases the teeth that Augusta National really has.
For sure. No, I couldn't agree. I also thought the LIV versus PGA comparison, I thought LIV kind of still pretty showed out this week. With Bryson up there, getting a
Cam
top
Smith.
six, Cam Smith, Patrick Reed as well. Couple guys up there. I mean, nothing crazy. I mean, I think I saw a stat where LIV in general only made up like 27% of the Masters applicants, but they, I think, 33% made the cut or something like that. 37% made the cut. So like not a bad showing for them. I think they played well, and I mean, shit, Bryson led round one and almost led round two, if I'm not mistaken. So he
Yeah,
was up there too.
Mr. Par 68 really performed after day one.
And then also, not a big fan of him getting his irons redone or 3D printed and then approved the week of the Masters. Something sketchy going on there, and I don't like that at all. Something's going on. I just don't like
You
that.
think he's swindling the system a little
Something. I don't know what it is, but I
bit?
just don't like that. I'm not a big fan of that. Not a big fan of that. So, got to get into Tiger talk. We at least got to see the red shirt come out on Sunday. But, buddy,
Yo, he sucked this weekend.
that weekend was horrific. Like, you kind of felt bad for the guy at one point. You're like, all right, telecast, like, if it's anybody else, you're not going to be showing them. All right. But like When you go out and shoot the 82 on Saturday, you're like, all right, like, let's just keep it moving along. Maybe just show
Yeah.
like one or two good shots he has, and that's it. Just keep it moving. We don't need to see much more.
Nope, and instead ESPN goes, we're showing Tiger 20 every shot of all four rounds. Who cares?
Yeah. I really hate to say it, man. I don't think him playing like every month is gonna benefit him. Like, it's just
Can't.
like I don't think he's gonna be able to do it. His body isn't gonna be able to withstand it. I mean, man's out there literally like icy hotting his back, between shots.
He was stretching. I mean, he was stretching a lot on Saturday and Sunday. You could see that he was not feeling it after the 20, what, 24, 25 holes he played Friday. You could see the body caught up to him a little bit, for sure.
I kind of felt bad. Honestly, first two rounds, I'm like, all right, like he actually doesn't look bad. Like he made the
No, played
cut,
solid.
with multiple strokes in between him and the cut line. I'm like, all right, Tiger, like if you can kind of do that on Saturday, and then if you just lose the wheels on Sunday, it's like, all right, whatever. Fine, but at least if you can hold it together for three rounds, I'm like, all right, there's some potential there. I really think there's potential in the future, but the wheels just came off the, off the wheel, or wheels came off the car essentially, come Saturday and Sunday for Tiger Woods. And I hope we don't see that moving forward, but I have an inkling that we are going to be seeing that moving forward, and that might just be it. But you also looked at him. Right? They kept showing pictures and videos of him winning in 2019 and now. My man aged drastically since then.
Oh yeah, no, good old Father Time is undefeated, we all say, right? And you could see how much in the last, what is it now, 5 years that it's taken a toll on him, right? It's pretty drastic of how much significant that is, right? And like you said, the only thing that he enjoyed on the weekend was Charlie coaching him on the range on Sunday. That was the only thing that was like actually TV worthy. But I think moving forward, right, you're still going to see him compete, right? And it's now just at this point, I think he won't play the US Open as much. I think he's going to be pretty fixated on Augusta, the PGA, and the Open, just because it's not as daunting of a task in comparison to the US Open, right? Depending on where it's played, for sure. Like if he could have probably played last year, right? Because it was at LA Country Club. Rough wasn't as penile. But in some and if the US Open wants to go old school traditional, right, his body's not gonna enjoy that one bit. So I think he's gonna definitely pick and choose where he plays moving forward. I think those three for sure, US Open, you might not see him as much at all, or if at all.
I couldn't agree more. I'm just hoping this isn't just foreshadowing him moving on. Like, this is kind of it. He's done. And it's just sad because, like, you've watched him for how long now dominate the game. And it's just like now it's just coming, it's coming to an end, sadly. Just unfortunately coming to an end. And that's what's going to happen with the greats. They're going to get old and they're going to lose their wits. I mean, let's look at Freddie Couples now, even. Like, he was a star, won a shit ton, and now he just goes out to the Masters just to have a good time, I think, for two rounds. He's like, all right, guys, let's have a couple beers afterwards. We'll call it a day. So, yeah, it's just what it is now. So, yeah, a lot. Like I was saying earlier about, like, with the high numbers, like, Spieth missed the cut. Victor Hovland missed the cut. Brian Harman missed the cut. Wyndham Clark missed the cut. Justin Thomas missed the cut. A lot of people, like big names, missed the cut, and they couldn't get into the weekend. And I was just shocked by how many big names missed the cut and how hard, I guess, the Masters and Augusta was treating them. So.
Oh yeah, no, and you missed a couple of other ones, right? Sergio, Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson. Like the list is pretty long, like you said, right? I think you gotta just Give the golf course its hat, like, right? It showed its true colors those 4 days. And outside of Sunday, where it finally turned into some playing conditions, like where you could score, Augusta pretty much won the weekend for sure.
Yeah, I actually just heard something that there was an ex worker that stole over $1 million worth of merchandise. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard about it. I respect it, honestly. Like you don't want to be stealing, right? But honestly, if you really think about it, like you're in an area that only so many people are allowed to actually go to. You gotta take advantage of when you get the opportunity.
Yeah, I just heard about this, but I was on the course today. A buddy of mine was telling me, I was like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, like $1 million. I'm like, holy crap, that's a lot of money. He's like, yeah, like an Arnold Palmer jacket and something like that he stole. I didn't read too much into it, but I was like, wow, $1 million, that's a lot of money to steal, or a lot of merchandise to steal.
Well, I bet you the merchandise is costing a couple hundred each thing, but that's still probably what? Still about 20, 25 things, probably.
Probably, yeah. Yes, we had that instance I heard about, and then of course the instance with Zach Johnson on hole 12, and the patrons were giving him shit about his
Oh,
Ryder Cup
no.
picks, and then he ends up what he a double bogey the hole, triple bogey the
Yep.
holes, use some profanity there, so not
Zach,
great
Z
things.
Zach's gotta grow up a little bit.
I
I
mean.
think I it's also two negatives, right? The patrons were definitely in the wrong. I think Zach's
Sure.
extremely fed up because now he just gets blistered by the people now about it.
Well, not only
24/7.
because of the Ryder Cup, but I think Full Swing didn't help it either.
Oh yeah, where he's on the phone with Keegan Bradley when he tells him the news.
Yeah, it's
The
not a
bad
good
to
look.
bad to bad look.
Yeah, not a good look for him. And unfortunately, I think that's the reason why all that transpired on the 12th hole there. But yeah, it's not a good look for Mr. Zach Johnson, to say the least.
No, but I don't think he's going to be captain, have a captaincy anytime soon with all this stuff that's been going on.
Yeah. Quick question before we move off the topic here. All four majors, US Open, PGA, the Open, and the Masters. If you had to win just two of them,
If
which two would you pick?
I had the opportunity to win too,
Yeah.
for me it's the Masters. I don't think I think that's my clear number one. And then I actually would like to win the Open Championship. I think winning the Claret Jug is something just historical, being able to
So
go
if
to the.
somebody wins that, them two, over, let's say, the US Open, the PGA Championship, do you put them at a slightly higher ranking than the other folks or not?
I do value the Masters a little bit more than the other three, just a little bit. I don't
Okay.
think I think that one personally, but in comparison to the other three, I don't.
Okay. I mean, I'm just throwing this out
You
of here.
know what? Now you go ahead, Mr.
No.
Spitball.
Before I get,
Let's
before I
hear
say mine, I just want to let you know Zach Johnson did win a Masters
your take. And an
and an
Open.
Open. Yeah.
I know. He's
And
got.
Rory hasn't won any of, hasn't won a Masters. So,
I
all
agree.
right, just putting out there, all right? Just putting
Yeah, and I bet Rory to complete that. Look where I'm sitting, right here, looking like an idiot.
No, I agree with you. Mine would also be the Masters, it would also be the Open. I just think the Masters is too special for what it is, and it's clear cut number one, like you said. And then I just think the Open's just the tradition side behind it, and winning across the pond, at least for us here in America, it's just like, all right, like you kind of did it. You won on U.S. soil, and now you won in
Yeah,
another soil, another area. So I think
no
that just
doubt.
means something. So I think the least one is PGA,
Oh, for
unfortunately.
sure.
So it is what it is. But yeah, I just wanted to ask your take there. So. All right, Blaine.
Jump to some
Let's,
hoops.
yeah, let's transition here to the hardwood. We got the NBA playoffs kicked off with the play-in series Wednesday and Thursday. Lakers came out to be the 7 seed and the Pelicans in the 8 seed. And then the other play-ins games, the Sixers came out and came the 7 seed and the Heat came out for the 8 seed. So then we started the first official full first round yesterday, and that would be Saturday, 4:20, and then we continued on today on Sunday. So we got a couple games in, couple one game leads. I'm pretty sure every home team has won so far.
They have. The home team has held serve. And right
Yes.
now the Bucks are up 20. So I
So it
think that's
looks like
going to
it.
continue.
Correct, correct. So we're continuing on with that right now. Blaine, let's run it through here. You know what you're thinking. Maybe you don't have to go through every series of what you're thinking, but you got to at least give me picks here in the first round who you think you're taking. So.
Sure. I do want to just throw this out. Like outside of the Sixers-Knicks game, all these games haven't really been competitive either. Like teams have, like
Yeah.
the home team has really just put the anchor down. I mean, the Nuggets didn't take control really till the fourth quarter, but still, like in the fourth quarter, it wasn't really competitive. So in the let's do with the least important series, in my opinion, which is the Magic and the Cavaliers. The series that's going to be stuck on NBA TV all freaking week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a major L for them. I like the Cavaliers in five in that one. Oh man, I mean, for Suns Timberwolves, I mean, Ant-Man really, I probably had it being a pick'em until what Ant-Man and the Minnesota Timberwolves showed me yesterday.
Yeah.
So I've got the Timberwolves in six.
Okay.
I think the big three in Booker, KD, and Bradley Beal will show up one game where they're just gonna combine for like 90 of their 120, something absurd, right?
Sure.
And they'll get a couple. Knicks Sixers, even with the Knicks winning, I still have the Sixers in six there. I think the biggest thing there when it comes to the Sixers is Joel Embiid's health, because he didn't look great towards the end of that game. You could tell, I think, his body was starting to shut down on him a little bit. And I think if you're living and dying by Josh Hart beating you, and I don't mind that game plan. So, Nuggets, Lakers. I got Nuggets in five, just because I think the Nuggets are arguably the best team in the West, in my opinion. Bucks, Pacers. I had the Bucks in seven, but that was with Giannis. If Giannis can't go at all, I have Pacers in seven. So I'm gonna still stick with the Bucks. So I think Giannis will play by like game three or game four, in my opinion. I think them blowing them out right now allows them to sit him in game two though now as well, which I think is a bonus for them.
Sure.
Celtics Heat, no Jimmy Butler. I don't even think this is really a series unless Jimmy Butler can play. So, and right now I have Celtics in five. I think the Heat just get one because Miami and Eric Spoelstra just know how to Eric can coach it a one win basically in a series. Clippers Mavericks. I have the Mavericks in six, even with the Clippers winning today. No Kawhi, I think that is going to hold heavy. And I think actually the Mavericks getting blown out today is going to actually help them in the long run of this series, because I think they realize that Kyrie and Luka can't do it alone. So it wouldn't be surprised if you see a more complete Mavericks team in game two. And then same thing with the Pelicans Thunder. No Zion Williamson for the first four games, they were saying, and that's if he gets evaluated and cleared. And at that point, it's going to be Thunder in five.
Makes
All right,
sense.
what you got?
Pretty honestly, I'm pretty chalked up with you right there. I mean, almost I think every take I got the Celtics in four. I think they blow out the Heat. I just think they're just the way better team,
Yeah.
like hands down. I got the Cavs in six. I think the Magic are gonna steal a game or two at home, but I still think the Cavs in six, but it's just like a whatever game.
Right.
I think the Bucks are going to win in six versus the Pacers, whether it's with Giannis or not. I just think the Bucks are a deeper team and they have talent elsewhere besides Giannis. And Doc Rivers will get him out of the first round. I think it's the next round for Doc. That's his one
That's his
problem. So,
issue, yeah.
I with the Sixers and the Knicks, I said it even before yesterday, even with Joel's injury, I said the Knicks are going to win game one. They're just too hyped up for it, and Knicks have been living for like this moment for game one to actually be like on top of the world, and they got it. Good for them. But I think the Sixers are, I honestly think the Sixers win four straight. I mean, I'm just,
Wow.
I really think this, unless Joel's down, like there's really something wrong, but reports are leaning that he's just questionable and it's just going to keep moving along. But they got outboarded. They got a little bit out hustled, I think, yesterday. But like, even with all that, and the bench scoring 7 points and Joel missing time and not looking good in the second half, they only lost by 7 points. Like, okay, great. Yeah, Josh Hart was able to hit a what, two threes at the end of the game. All right, see, we'll see you game two. The Thunder Pelicans. I actually think this goes six. And but I think the Thunder win it just because of the inexperience for the Thunder and also the expectations of them being a number one seed as well. I think it does go six. I think Brandon Ingram's going to be able to hold them a game, or two as well. So I got the Thunder in six. I Clippers and Mavs is a weird one, man, because I know Kawhi is out. But like today, like I thought today's matchup was going to be a lot closer and it wasn't. It was like a really, it was a blowout of a game. But I want to pick the Mavs and I think that's the way I'm going to go. I think the Mavs in seven. I Timberwolves and Suns. I want to go with Suns, but it's just not possible. The team just doesn't look like it's meshing well. As we all expected it maybe too, right? You got your three dominant stars and a big center that can board, and it's just not there. I don't know what it is. And the Timberwolves are playing really good ball, so I'm going to take Timberwolves in six, and I think it's the Nuggets in five. You know, as much as we all want LeBron and AD to keep going in advance, especially take down the Nuggets first round would be incredible. I think a lot of people will be excited about it, but I just don't think it's going to happen. That team's too strong to let it happen. I think it's just the Nuggets in five there, so.
No, and I think like a lot of it really showcases that a lot of these series are extremely one-sided. Especially from like a Western Conference perspective, like regardless if you want LeBron and AD, right? The Nuggets are heavy favorites. Same with the Thunder over the Pelicans, heavy favorites. The other two series, right, are a little bit closer, but I think what Minnesota showed you against Phoenix is was more of a oh crap from a Phoenix perspective, not from like an oh wow from a Minnesota perspective, right? I think it's more of like, all right, KD's gonna go through this big three failure yet again. And I think like, and it wasn't because KD yesterday, right? Like, KD got his. I mean, Devin Booker was an absolute no-show yesterday. A no-show, which was, I think he'll show out in game two, but I think Minnesota's defense really showcased what they really are. And I think they're holding that personal grudge against Phoenix that Phoenix went 3-0 against them in the regular season. And you saw that yesterday.
Yeah. I think like what you said earlier about the West being kind of almost like chalked up a little bit more, like it makes more sense, right? Because I just think the one, two, and three seeds are just kind of they're stronger than the six, seven, and eight seed. Where like you look at the East, and don't get me wrong, like the Celtics are the strongest team in the East. But if Butler's healthy, that series could go six, you know, maybe even seven. You know, you look at the Knicks as the two seed. Well, the Sixers are actually we're only like two or three games back from them actually being in the two seed. And Joel was out, you know, two and a half months, right? Same thing with the Pacers. Like the Pacers were only two games behind the Bucks for the three seed, and with now Giannis out, like you're like, ah, Halliburton, you know, you can ball a little bit. Like you can make kind of conversation in the East with like you know all three of them series if Butler was healthy, but like in the West, it's kind of like all right, yeah, Thunder's gonna win it, Nuggets are gonna win it, and Timberwolves are probably gonna win it. Like you're kind of. You kind of would be like, oh shit, like it's shock. Like, all right, if the Lakers upset Nuggets, you'd be like, whoa, what's going on here? All right
Yeah,
now.
exactly. So I think I agree with that point wholeheartedly because I think like those three teams are within a game of each other. Basically, they were tied going into the last two games of the year for the number one overall seed, right, in the Western Conference. So I think that needs to be looked at as well. Quick question for you, Joe. Who, if you had to outside of if you had to pick an upset series outside of your Sixers, who would be the upset?
Pacers over the Bucks.
I agree with that. Just because no Giannis, I think that just makes levels the playing field so much. Even with actually Giannis, because the Pacers make it a track meet, so
Yeah, I think the Pacers over the Bucks will be the one, so
I agree.
yeah.
All right, you want to talk some NFL draft that takes place on Thursday?
I know, man. I'm so excited. I will actually not be in town. I'm gonna be in Boston for a bachelor party, so I'm pretty excited. And
What?
we get in on Thursday, and I got another Falcons fan I'm gonna be with, some Eagles fans, Cleveland Browns fans, a lot of different fans all over. So it's gonna be a good time Thursday night, and I'm excited to watch the draft, and hopefully the Falcons don't mess it up too bad. So.
They probably will.
Easy now. So, all
I mean,
right.
honestly, I think Washington's going to screw it up, so it's fine.
All right. Well, let's run through a little mock that you and I did. We did it separately, so we just did our own.
This is so
So let's do it that way. Let's, go through it, kind of talk through what we're thinking, why maybe this position over this position, for that, and let's start it off. So, Blake, give me I think the number one picks pretty consensus, right?
Yeah, I've got Caleb Williams.
Right. Caleb Williams. I also got Caleb Williams. I think it's pretty chalked up there for the Chicago Bears. And if they win another round, I'd be honestly shocked. So
Yeah, what if Chicago did go another route? Who would they go? You think they just go Jaden Daniels, different at quarterback?
there's just no shot they're going. No, they're not. They're just not.
That's
I
fair.
there's it
That's
just
fair.
it's just not it's just not gonna happen. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me, so that's all.
All right.
So all right,
Yeah,
let's
I guess I gotta get to guess with my I guess my team's on the clock.
yeah, let's go here. Let's go Washington. What are you thinking here?
Can I say what I really want them to do and then actually say what I think they're gonna do?
Sure, that's fine.
What I want them to do is to trade down. Because basically the team has openly admitted they have no freaking clue who they want at quarterback. Because they had all four of them competing against each other. Was it five? Four or five of them competing against each other last week when it comes to Daniels, May, Penix, and McCarthy. I was like, well, that tells you mean nothing. Because that means honestly trade down, get another pick, and then you can get one of like McCarthy or probably Penix even later, right? That's what it's
Okay.
telling. That's what that tells me.
Okay.
So what I would want them to do is trade down to like four or five. Someone swap out. You get one of the wide receivers, then you take Penix later on. That's what I would do. But they're gonna take Jaden Daniels number two. That's what I got.
Okay. All right. I went with Drake May.
No,
I've been
don't.
flip-flopping. I've been
No.
flip-flopping both of
Oh, God.
them. Daniels in May, in about every mock that I've done, I can't put a consensus on the number of who's gonna go where yet. But May, I got May going to Washington, another UNC quarterback coming in to take the realm in Washington.
Drake
So
May has Mitchell Trubisky written all over it.
yeah, we'll see. So all right, third overall pick,
You go first.
Patriots. I don't think this is going to be the pick. I actually think this is potentially a trade down for the Pats. I think they just need a lot more than a quarterback. So I could see a trade down here, but I do have a quarterback going to them, and it's Jaden Daniels here. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think they should trade down as well. And I actually have them, if they get stuck in this position, not taking a quarterback.
Okay.
I have them taking Joe Alt out of Notre Dame, the offensive tackle, the clear best offensive lineman in the draft.
Agreed. I can't argue with there. It'd be a really good pick. It could be a generational pick for them for multiple years. So I couldn't agree more. And I don't hate the pick at all. Number four, Arizona Cardinals. This is not moved off of me. And I have not changed my pick here from the very first mock to this mock. And it's Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I think this one's arguably the second easiest pick outside of Caleb Williams in this draft so far. Man, generational talent at the wide receiver position. The Cardinals need weapons and they need a dog. And you have three options there between Harrison, Neighbors, and Aduzie. But I think Harrison's the clear number one out of those three guys. So, in my opinion.
I couldn't agree. Like, I think it's just the Marvin Harrison's a pick. The only other route I could potentially see them going is they go and draft Joe Alt if he is there, and just to get them another tackle on the other side. They drafted the kid out of Ohio State last year. I forget his name off the top of my head. But I mean, if you want to really protect Kyler, then you can go that route. But you have no wide receivers to throw to right now at this point. So I just think they still have to go wide receiver, and they need to get the number one that's been the number one for the last year and a half, 2 years, I feel like, and Marvin Harrison. So all right,
Oh, absolutely agree.
let's get number five, Chargers here. I think this is the prime candidate for trade. I think this is it here. I think I don't see the Chargers at all staying at this pick. However, this is where my boom comes in. You ready for this? I told you about this. This is where the boom comes in. I think Herbert's on the move. I think Herbert gets traded, and I think it's to the Vikings. And the Vikings are going to take it, Herbert, and they're going to trade multiple first rounds away because they have two of them already, 11 and 23. Could be two first, maybe even three first, maybe a player as well. And I think I don't have it right now, but I could see JJ McCarthy going here then to the Chargers.
What intonation? Wow, man, I didn't. Man, you really are swinging for the fences. I love it.
I mean, it just kind of like lining up to like what it could potentially be, right? Like Herbert is probably 3 to 4 first round quarterback, right? And the Vikings need to keep Justin Jefferson happy. And the only way to keep him happy right now is to go get a good could do great quarterback, to be honest with you. And Justin Herbert's like the only one that fits that scheme for me. And I think I
No,
talked about it on here before about Justin Herbert potentially being traded. And it still kind of just makes sense to me with the Chargers. However, I don't have them going with JJ McCarthy here because that trade's very out there. So they need a wide receiver, and it's going to be Malik Neighbors for me.
that's my pick as well. Chargers cleaned house at the wide receiver position. They need to get reset the weapons for Justin Herbert, and Malik Neighbors would be the pick. All right, to number six, the New York Giants. This is one where I really contemplated them basically folding on Danny Dimes and them taking a quarterback, Mr. 40 million a year. However, I went with the option of them needing an offensive weapon after losing Saquon Barkley, and I went with Romeo Odorizzi out of Washington as the Giants pick.
Yeah, I also went the same route, Romy. I think it's the pick there. I just don't see a world where there's three quarterbacks and three wide receivers that go in the first six overall picks. It just like doesn't seem like it's gonna happen. But it's
No.
just like you're sitting there and you're like, it's what it's gonna be, right? We didn't do any trades here, folks, of course. So there's stuff that's gonna be moving, but like it just doesn't make sense to me. Like it shouldn't happen, but that's what I have as well. So
But also, right? But I think outside of Alt, like the offensive weapons are at the top of the everyone's boards, right? From an offensive perspective, outside of the Alt, who's like I think three or four from on the board just because of his lineman ability, right? Like there's a significant upgrade for going offense early in this draft in comparison to defense.
Yeah, I agree. The defense and the edge rushers, cornerbacks, aren't as highly regarded this year as they were in previous years. So no, I agree. I see what you're saying. So, all right, let's get to number seven. I'm interested to hear about this pick now because Alt's off the board. So where are you going here?
So I'm assuming you're going alt because that's would have been the pick I would have went with if I didn't have alt go three. I think the Titans then go best available, and I think they need help defensively, and I think they go Dallas Turner on the edge out of Alabama. They need some pass rush help. They got it. When you have three very good quarterbacks in your division now, three young quarterbacks too, when it comes to Lawrence, Anthony Richardson, and CJ Stroud, you got to be able to get home. So I got them going, Dallas Turner with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, you would be right. I'm gonna go with Joe Alt. This has probably been I would say this is almost an easier pick if he falls than the Cardinals pick at four. Like I have had Joe Alt slid into this spot at number seven since the start. I just think they need to protect Will Levis in any case possible right now, and I think Alt gives them that. So all right, let's get to eight here.
It's your turn.
Falcons.
You lead the way. What do you want the, all right, what do you want your Falcons to do? And then what do you think they are going to do?
Honestly, I'm happy with many different scenarios. If one of the wide receivers fall, I'm happy. Defensive lineman between Dallas Turner and Latu, I'm fine with there. I'd even be fine with a cornerback. I'm fine with trading down. I'm even fine trading up to go get a quarterback like May or Daniels. The only thing I don't want JJ McCarthy, and I don't want Michael Penix at the eighth spot. If they fall and they want to trade back up, or if they're back far, they trade back and they get them, fine. But don't do that. So, kind of been doing a little more research on Dallas Turner. Wasn't a big fan of him before. I like Latu a lot better. However, with Raheem Morris and his scheme as a 3-4, I think Dallas Turner would fit way better than Latu, and that's who I have is Dallas Turner going to the Falcons.
So I have Latu going to Atlanta. I think he's the best pure rusher in this class. I think Raheem Morris playing a 3-4 does hurt his ability, but I think he's going to be great on third down if you go that route, and he's just going to rush the quarterback and get after it. So I have Latu going here. I think he's the best D end.
Yep, don't hate it. Fine with it. Cool with it. I'm all right with it. So, all right, let's get to the second round,
Bears
first
pick.
round pick for the Bears. So they did go with Caleb Williams, the first overall for us. I have them going interior defensive line, Ryan Murphy out of Texas.
Wow, that's high. I had Mur a lot of Murphy is not till like a late teens, early 20s on most boards. What led you to go there?
I just think they need to work on the interior defensive line, truthfully enough, and I really think that's the pick here. I don't think they'll go edge rusher, especially in my case with Dallas Turner now off the board. They already have the wide receivers kind of figured out, and plus the big three already went at that point. So you're not going to go take Brock Bowers at that point. I think offensive tackle, they're okay. They've kind of drafted and plugged and played spots, so I think it's for them. It's just time to work on the defensive line. So,
Fair. I do have him going Jared Verse out of Florida State. I think at that point you need some speed on this
wow,
defense.
now that's high.
Yeah, I agree. It is high. A lot of people have him either going extremely high or extremely low. So, I think you got the Bears need athleticism from a defensive perspective, so that's why I said go with Verse, especially with the other two guys now off the board in Latu and Turner.
Okay.
I think this is where the Bears would trade back down, honestly, again, to get more picks, would be
I
the
think they
ninth
have
spot.
to, right? Because I think they have what, four picks this draft or something ridiculous like that. So I think everybody's kind of waiting on that, and the Bears are probably going to trade down, especially if like a potential quarterback falls, like maybe somebody wants to trade up and snag him before the top 10. I don't know, something like that. So, all
Right.
right, what you got for the Jets pick here?
I have the Jets being idiots and taking Brock Bowers.
That's fair.
I have them just basically saying, Aaron, what do you want? He goes, another weapon. All right, Brock Bowers it is.
That's fair. I'm okay with
I
that.
think they need to go defense, but they won't. Or I think they need actually offensive line because they're old, but
Yeah, that's the route I went. I went to Lee Fuago out of Oregon State, the tackle. I just think it helps protect Aaron Rodgers, even if he doesn't start right off the bat. I know Tyron Smith they signed, but like Tyron Smith is pretty much injured and is only good for 12 games. So to have the guy there, first round talent to protect Rodgers, I'd rather go the air route. So.
It's fair. For the Vikings, this is where I have JJ McCarthy going on mine. I'm assuming you have JJ McCarthy going as well
I
at
do
this
too.
point. If there's no trade, we all assume that the Vikings would move up to get their quarterback, but if they didn't move, this is probably where one of those quarterbacks would fall. For Denver, the Denver Broncos, there's a multitude of ways you can go here. You can go quarterback, you can go corner. Where'd you go?
I actually went Jared Verse out of Florida State. I took the edge rusher there.
Okay.
I know they don't have a quarterback. I've done Bo Nix here a lot. I'm going to tell you the truth, but I just don't think they're in love with Bo Nix, and I just think, you might as well just start building up the defense as best as we can to pressure Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert for futures to come. So, I think that's the pick here for them.
Fair. I do have them going quarterback. It's not Bo Nix. In my board, Drake May hasn't been taken off the board yet. This is where Drake May
Oh
falls.
my. Wow, I forgot about that. I'm like, what, man? Like, why? Okay. All right now.
The one that's going to potentially fall on draft night.
Okay. All right.
If a quarterback falls this on Thursday, he's going to be the one that falls.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. All right. Let's move on to the Raiders then.
He's like, screw you. You got nothing to say now moving
All right.
forward.
I took who should I take here? Alone Fashaw, the Penn State tackle here for the Raiders. That's who I took. So.
I went offensive line, but I went J.C. Latham. I think out of those two guys, you really can't go
All right, so
wrong.
I'm gonna be honest, not a big Latham guy at all.
Really?
I watched some tape on him,
Oh, he's
did some
homework.
research on Latham, and honestly, out of like the 4 to 5, maybe even 6 tackles like that are projected first rounds, like he's like 5 or 6. I just don't like his tape. I'm not a big fan of him. I
Okay.
it's just not there for me. Like I have at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 5 tackles ahead of him in this draft. So
Wow.
we'll see how it goes. But okay.
Honestly, this is where the Raiders go. Who's the fastest player? 99% of the time. So look out for the Texas wide receiver to go really early. Xavier
Fair.
Worthy.
It's fair. It's fair.
Honestly, though, if you look at what the Raiders do under Mr. Davis,
Yeah.
it's
Yeah.
correlated, man. He goes, I want
Yep.
the speedster. I want
Yep.
speed.
Yep. All right, so we got Saints here, 14.
This is where Fashao goes for me. Alu
Okay.
Fashao goes here.
Okay. I actually had them taking Brock Bowers.
Okay.
I think Bowers
Don't hate that.
in the offense really reminds them of like that Jimmy Graham when they were rocking and rolling. And I think it helps out with Derek Carr reminding him of Darren Waller, back then.
Ooh.
So I like the pick. Colts here. What do you got here?
Colts, I have them going. The first cornerback comes off the board. I got Terrion Arnold.
All right. Yeah, it's a real toss up here between these cornerbacks. I took Quinyon Mitchell here out of Toledo, so but yeah, on the same page. On the same
Yeah, I
page.
mean, those two are pretty like 1A, 1B for this year for this class.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
For the Seahawks, I have them staying local and going interior offensive lineman Troy Foutnau. I have
Wait,
the
who do you have?
about now. About measurements.
Oh, all right. Never mind. Never mind.
Different person for Seattle.
Yeah, I thought you said interior. Bono's a tackle.
Oh, I don't know. I know they went offensive line.
Oh, all right. I was like, wait, whoa, here we go. Staying local. I was like, kind of local. I mean, I'm going to Oregon. I'm going to Jackson Powers Johnson, the center. So
Wow, you have him higher on
I
your.
do. I am very high on him. I
So
really like
you
him.
have him way over Barton then.
Yeah, Barton's a tackle.
Wait, now who's the center?
The only other center is the kid out of West Virginia. So,
There's someone listed as a guard, also a center. Oh,
yeah,
whatever.
I'm a big Jackson Powers. I really think he's very talented at his position, and he's a day one starter for sure. So.
Okay. Jaguars, I have. This is where the other corner goes off the board, and I have Quinton Mitchell going here. You probably have Tyrion Arnold going here.
Yeah, that I
So
do. I do have Arnold here.
just kind of flip-flop in that regard. I think it's
Yep.
kind of a no-brainer. Jaguars need secondary help.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Keep it moving.
Yep. Cincinnati, this is where I have Byron Murphy falling. The Bengals do need some interior defensive line help to kind of help with Hendrickson and Hubbard on the outside. I think he'd be a perfect fit for Cincinnati if he falls this far to 18.
Okay. Yeah, I don't hate it. Good pick. Good pick. I took Troy Fano here, tackle from West Washington. Excuse me. Got to protect Burrow any way possible. So
Yeah, for sure.
that's all.
From the Rams, I have them taking Johnny Newton. Oh God, what is it? Yeah, I have them
Yep.
taking Newton. Yep.
It's a really good pick. I actually really like him here as well. I had him mocked here a couple times. I know for a fact. But I took Latu here. I think the edge rush
Okay.
here,
Yeah.
with McVay would be good here. So,
I don't mind that at all.
no.
All right, who's next? Is it the Steelers?
Yeah, Steelers next. Steelers next.
Steelers, I have. This is where Fuaga falls for me for out of Oregon State. So this is where he goes. Pittsburgh, protect Russell or Fields, whoever gets the nod at quarterback.
I'm gonna be honest, Steelers have no wide receiver catch, no wide receivers at all besides George Pickens.
That's
So you
fair.
need to go wide receiver here. So I got him taking Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU.
Okay. Don't hate that.
Now and then Dolphins come around. They gotta protect Tua any way possible. I can see them also going defense because they also lost a shit ton of defenses here too. But I have them taking Amarius Mims out of Georgia, the tackle.
I have Graham Barton going here.
Okay. Don't hate it.
So don't hate it.
Don't
Don't
hate
hate
it.
it. Next up, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles. They need secondary help. This is where I have them taking Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson.
I have the same thing, buddy. Nate
Let's
Wiggins in here.
go. I'm actually not as far off as I thought I'd be in comparison to the
Nah.
mocks.
Nah. You're pretty
I've
clean.
got the positions right, just the different names.
Yeah, and that usually I do mocks with a couple other buddies of mine who are, minds are there and they know college ball really well. And I've been kind of in the same boat where like I take the same position. I might just have a different player here and there. So
Right,
I feel
that's
the same
fair.
way.
All right, is it the Vikings who would have the pick?
Yep, Vikings have to pick here. Yep.
See, I have no idea which way they wanted to go. So I just went best available, and I went Darius Robinson out of Missouri. I don't think they need
Chance. Safety.
he's the D end from out of Missouri to put outside. Have go put another D end in there on the other side for that defense. That defense definitely needs some extra help after losing Hunter.
Okay, that's fine. I went edge rusher, so pretty similar, but I went Chop Robinson out of Penn State.
Okay.
I
Don't
think
hate
he gets
that.
slides into the 20s there. So, all right, Cowboys.
I have them taking Guyton out of Oklahoma.
Okay. This is where I have JC Latham falling to, and I think he fits into the scheme here to help protect Dak before he goes off into the sunset next year. So,
Yeah, don't hate it. Don't hate it. I think it's a smart pick. Like, as you say, you have Latham way lower on your board than like myself, right? So.
yeah.
The Packers. Packers, I have them going offensive line as well to protect Jordan Love. This is where Amarius Mims goes for me.
Jahzir Newton, Illinois, is where he's gonna slide in here. They need a little D line help, so.
Interesting. I like that one.
26, well, Tampa Bay Bucks. They need help with a lot of different places, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Anything on the defensive side is the correct choice, actually, for
Yeah.
that.
I'm gonna take Iowa native Cooper DeJean here to fill in the role, so.
Oh, I like it. I like it. This is where I have Chop Robinson going.
Good pick. All right, nice
Yeah.
pick. Don't hate it. Don't hate it at all.
So, like you said, need some help on the defense. You lose your some of your best. You lose Devin White, right? Guy you can plug in that role, basically.
Keep an eye on if Jared Verse falls, keep an eye on Jared Verse in Tampa Bay. I've heard a lot of things about that.
I've also heard the same.
So keep an eye on that. All right, we got the Arizona Cardinals. They took Marvin Harrison Jr. Earlier for I think both of us. I have them now switching over to defense, and they're going to take Kool-Aid McKinney.
McKinstry, I also have that pick, identical.
Wow, look at us, huh?
Yeah, I think the Cardinals, this is where you take, based off of me, it's Kool-Aid or Cooper DeJean. But I think they go Kool-Aid because I think that's just what Arizona does. They take people with interesting names, like Hollywood Browns, like that.
Fair. Spray.
Bills,
Buffalo.
they need a
Buff.
receiver. They're going to take a Donnie Mitchell. They need a big, tall wide receiver out of, and they're taking the kid out of Texas.
Yeah, I got the same thing. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they trade up for a better one, but yeah, I got the same thing at Donnie Mitchell.
All right. 29, the Lions. The Lions secondary help. I have them taking Cooper DeJean here.
Okay. I have them actually working on the interior offensive line. I know how well their offensive tackles are, but they got to work on the interior offensive line. I haven't taken Zach Frazier out of West Virginia, the center.
Don't hate All right, how many more we got? Three?
Three. We got the Baltimore Ravens at 30. You could use a wide receiver here, a little bit in the secondary as well, and then of course linebacker, edge rusher. I think the loss of Patrick Queen is going to hurt them a little bit. And so I actually ended up taking a little more of an edge rusher here. I'm not going to be able to pronounce this well. Adisik Isaac out of Penn State as well, edge rusher.
I don't mind that pick. I have Jerzon Newton going here
Okay.
for I think they go interior defensive line. Calais Campbell's getting a little up there in age. Don't hate that going this route.
Clay's Campbell's not there
Oh,
anymore.
no, never mind. Wrong guy. I know they need D tackle help. I knew I was going to get the name wrong. I'm way off on my D2. Oh, there we go. As you can tell, I'm stupid at this shit.
All right, San Fran. The pick here for me is the replace of Trent Williams. Moving forward because I know he is getting up in age. It's Graham Barton out of Duke. I think it's just for the replacement of Trent. Future, so
All right, this is where the 49ers definitely just go weapon and fit their system. So I have them going Ladd McConkey in the
yeah, I like it. Why not give it to him?
Fits Kyle Shanahan's system to a T. He's
Yeah,
like
just give it to him. Yeah,
that
I like that. I like that.
guy.
All right, and then 32, wrap it up here, Kansas City. I have Troy Franklin out of Oregon going to them.
I have them going receiver again. I have them taking Brian Thomas Jr. at LSU.
Okay. Slam a
Yeah,
cog to the Niners. That's a
that
good one. I like that. I like
was
that. So, oh, folks. Yeah, there's the mock draft we just ran through. Let us how you do. Let us know your ideas as well. Maybe we're on the same page. We're not even close to what you're thinking. Definitely expect some fireworks come Thursday, of course, and trades are going to be flying across the board. And,
That leads into a great question. What's your number on how many trades take place on Thursday in the first round? What's your number?
four.
Oh, four?
So you're at
I have like five, I have like six. think six trades.
Think that's a little high.
I think there's going to be a lot of those teams later that know they need to go get a body that will go like Buffalo. Like if the Vikings don't move up, I think they'll trade that other pick, right? That 23. Or even if they make that trade with the Chargers, I think the Chargers might move that 23 pick. I think there's going to be.
You could also see if like a couple of these quarterbacks drop between 27 and 32, a lot of the second round teams will trade up into it, so then they get the fifth year option.
Right, like for Penix example, right? If Penix drops or Mix drops, so
Penix, Bo Nix, something like that. Like a lot of teams will trade back up with their first to take them, so.
oh yeah, no doubt. I like that. I agree.
So, yeah, so keep an eye out on that, but we'll be back, maybe, I think, yeah, we'll be back next week probably for that, and we'll talk the NFL. We're not doing bad.
Honestly, every other week, that's not bad for us.
Yeah, not bad. We'll get back to it, and we'll talk about the NFL draft, break down a little more of the playoffs, NBA playoffs, and keep moving forward there. So, always, folks. Good time. Talk soon.